Rat Pack, where you at?
What's going on? It's the FCN Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Jeff Ratcliffe, and it is Thursday, November 16th, week 11, fantasy football upon us. About to get kicked off tonight, but on the podcast today, we're going to break down some of the latest on the injury front for you, and of course, we'll also talk wide receiver cornerback matchups for you DFS heads out there. Let's start today with Justin Jefferson. So, I have been asked the question, will he return this week? I can't tell you. Unfortunately, I really don't know. I wish I could just say, yep, he's going to be back. Don't worry. But I don't know if I can say that. Jefferson did get limited work in at practice yesterday. I don't have a Thursday practice report as of right now. And we did hear from Kevin O'Connell, the Vikings head coach, after the fact. He said he's going to do, well, he said he did a little bit more today, meaning yesterday. He said, we'll see how he responds to that. Then a little bit more tomorrow. We're in that day-to-day ramping him up phase. Will determine if it's possible at all to have him for this weekend. So the beginning part of the quote, I don't really have any, you know, there's no alarm bells, but when he says, if it's possible at all to have him for this weekend, that's where the spidey senses start tingling a little bit there. That's a really weird way of phrasing it that doesn't make it sound particularly optimistic that he's going to be out there this week. So realistic expectation. I still think he's coming back. I don't think this is like one of those things where, you know what? He's going to revert to season-ending injury reserve. But he may not be activated until next week. Of course, the Vikings also are part of Bymageddon in week 13. So just be aware of that. I'm not going out of my way to trade for Justin Jefferson right now. I'm also certainly not trading him away right now. I haven't waited 5 weeks just to trade this dude away right before he's about to get back. So no guarantees, but that's kind of where we are. Alexander Mattison, I don't have any real significant update for people. I know some people were looking to make a decision on Ty Chandler before Thursday Night Football. So here's what we know. Mattison did not practice yesterday, but that's normal for players in concussion protocol. First practice of the week, almost always a DNP. If it isn't, then they're already making their way through protocol and they're going to be cleared. The Thursday practice, the second practice of the week, is not always Thursday if you're playing on Thursday Night Football, it's not Thursday, but the second practice of the week is the most important in terms of reading the tea leaves with concussion protocol. If Mattison goes DNP, then Ty Chandler is going to remain an RB2 in my rankings update before Thursday Night Football because Mattison almost certainly won't play. If you can't get to limited by the second practice of the week, it is very, 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 very difficult to clear concussion protocol. I've only seen it happen once before. It was Ramondre Stevenson for the Patriots. I guess that was it. Was it last year? Regardless, that was the player. It was very, very rare. So today's practice is pivotal. If you see limited, that means Madison's very likely going to clear protocol because usually that pattern is DNP, limited, full. Now, a lot of times if we see DNP, he may go limited on Friday, but we saw that with Jalen Waddle earlier this year. It doesn't mean he's going to play, and Waddle didn't play. He stayed in concussion protocol that week. So if you're making that decision tonight, that's what you're looking for. If Mattison gets to limited, he'll be back out there. Now, I don't expect Ty Chandler to just not be used at all, but it is going to be a full-blown committee, so that would take Ty Chandler really out of starting consideration for me. Mattison would still be the slightly better option, though only a flex option very likely, because they're both going to see the rock. The thing about it is it's a pretty good matchup against the Denver Broncos. KJ Osborne, by the way, for that team should be back because he was practicing yesterday. So he had that pretty nasty concussion himself. Devon Achane, let's go to the other player who we don't currently know whether or not he'll be activated. He was limited in practice, which is a good start. But remember, we saw this pattern from the Miami Dolphins already with two different players coming back from injured reserve, Jalen Ramsey, the cornerback, and Jeff Wilson Jr. Both of those guys essentially went limited all that first week when they were designated to return. They were not activated until the second week. Does that mean that's what they're going to do with Devon Achane? No, it doesn't. But it's more or less to underscore the idea that he's not guaranteed to be activated this week. So if you have him, don't just ink him into your starting lineups. Make sure you have a plan in place in case he isn't activated off of injured reserve. Raheem Mostert practicing in limited fashion, so that's good. Jalen Waddle practicing in full for the Miami Dolphins. Let's go to the Texans wide receivers. So Nico Collins did get back into practice. He got limited work, still dealing with the calf issue, but limited is good. Not out of the woods, but looks like he's going to be back for this week, hopefully, against that very nice matchup, the Arizona Cardinals. Noah Brown not practicing on Wednesday. As the same thing is true for Robert Woods. Brown has a knee issue. Woods still has that foot injury that actually cost him some time. And it looked like it limited him a little bit last week. He may or may not play. I mean, that one's up in the air. As far as Noah Brown, it's a new injury. At least I haven't seen a knee issue with him. So it is worth monitoring. Wednesday practice reports or first practice reports of the week really don't tell us much, especially when it's a DNP. It's not like alarm bells are going off for me right now. However, if we see a second DNP for him, that's when the level of concern starts to go up. So we'll keep an eye on his practice status for today. Damian Pierce still not practicing. Obviously, Devin Singletary will be the lead back and may just continue to be the lead back regardless of Damian Pierce's status. Had a heck of a game last week. Deontay Johnson popped up on the injury report with a thumb issue. He's already limited somewhat by the play of Kenny Pickett, but the thumb issue, he did experience it during the game last week, managed to play through it. Sometimes these guys will play through an injury, though, and then after the game it swells up or the pain comes in to play or what have you, and then they end up missing time. So we'll keep an eye on Deontay Johnson. Matthew Stafford with his own thumb issue, practicing in full. So I don't even think there's any question now that he's going to play start for the Rams this week. Not only play, but start. One other quick note, unrelated to injury before I get into wide receiver cornerback for you this week. Michael Carter, I thought he was going to get claimed pretty quickly. He was scooped right up by the Arizona Cardinals. The backfield is pretty lackluster beyond Connor. Mari DiMercato, just a guy, right? Early down runner, just a guy. Keontae Ingram, just a guy, not much there. So there actually is somewhat of an opportunity for Michael Carter here, only really if Connor went down with an injury again, but not a bad landing spot for him. It was really surprising the Jets moved on from him, but it is the NFL, and I think we're used to surprises by now. All right, let's talk about wide receiver cornerback matchup. Again, this is for DFS folks because really in DFS, we want to hit ceilings for players. We want those fire emojis. We want to make sure we reach the ceiling so we take advantage of the granular matchups. We're dealing with salaries. We're dealing with ownership. We're dealing with tens of thousands of lineups as opposed to season long where we're playing against one other lineup. We don't have the same player pool. We are really concerned. My main concern is hitting the midpoint or better in terms of the range of outcomes for a player. So I don't want to get this granular. I've seen a lot of people use wide receiver cornerback in season long and end up making a lot of start sit decision mistakes as a result. So I would avoid that if I were you. But I'm not you, so you do you. Brandon Ayuk gets a nice matchup upgrade against Tampa this week. Jamel Dean allowing a nice 69% catch rate, 12.2 yards per catch in his coverage. Of course, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers got torched 2 weeks ago by the Houston Texans. So why not keep picking on it? Tyreek Hill, if I'm going to pay up for a player like Hill, he better be in a position where he can break the slate. And he's in a position where he can break the slate. They move him all around the formation, but I especially like when he's going to get up against Marcus Peters. He's allowed 2 touchdowns over his last 4 games. Tank Dell, Nico Collins, Noah Brown, provided Noah Brown's good against Arizona. I especially like going up against Marco Wilson. 587 receiving yards allowed. That is second in the league. He's allowing an 80% catch rate, which is very high. I also like the other side, Ketrell Clark, giving up 13.4 yards per catch, 76% catch rate in his coverage. For Monday night, if you're playing some showdown, make sure you get a lot of Rashi Rice in there. The Eagles have really struggled in the secondary, especially at slot corner. I mean, are they? What is this, like their 5th or 6th slot corner of the season? Eli Ricks is the next man up. Eli Ricks giving up 12.7 yards per catch, which is a very high number for a slot corner. The Giants, you may have seen that last week. They gave up massive days to both CeeDee Lamb and Brandon Cooks. Well, this week they get to face Terry McLaurin and Jahan Dotson, along with the passing yards leader Sam Howell. The perimeter duo of Adoree Jackson and Deontay Banks just haven't been able to get it done. Jackson allowing 14.1 yards per catch, Banks right behind him with 13.5. Cortland Sutton is having a career year. This dude has scored in 7 of 9 games. Like he doesn't have more than one touchdown in any game because he has 7 touchdowns on the season. But 7 of 9 games played, he scored in each of his last 4. And then look at the secondary he's facing. Minnesota Vikings secondary. All right, Byron Murphy has allowed 6 touchdowns. Only one corner has allowed more this season. Caleb Evans allowed 3 touchdowns, 9 between the two of them. I mean, hey, Cortland Sutton. And also, by the way, just to toss this out there, the lines aren't out yet for anytime touchdowns, but I will be keeping a keen eye on Cortland Sutton's anytime. If it's minus, I probably won't be making that play, but if we're getting plus odds on it, why not at this point? 7 of 9 games played. All right, let's flip over to the matchup downgrades. Not a good one for the Buffalo Bills duo of Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis. Obviously, it wasn't a good one last week. This one's even worse. So we're looking at the Jets secondary, which, I mean, come on. Sauce Gardner and DJ Reed have been outstanding. Gardner allowed 8.3 yards per catch. Reed, 7.8 yards per catch. Those are elite numbers. Now, to be fair, again, for you season-long folks, that does not mean fade Stephon Diggs. Maybe you lower your expectations a little bit for him, but I'm not going to have any Gabe Davis, and I'll probably be very, very underexposed to Diggs this week. Cooper Kupp versus Seattle, another player like, yeah, lock him into starting lineups in season long. But looking at Devin Witherspoon, man, this kid has been a baller for the Seattle Seahawks. The premium first round pick that he was, worth every bit of that pick. 48% catch rate on the season, 8 pass breakups, and of course an epic interception from Devin Witherspoon. So a tough spot there for Cooper Kupp. How about Amari Cooper? Not only does he get a downgraded quarterback, okay, we have DTR in there, Dorian Thompson-Robinson in there as quarterback, but this also is going to be just in general a very tough matchup. He should see shadow coverage from Joey Porter Jr. Now, he's been the starter for the last 3 weeks. Over that span of time, 6 catches allowed on 14 targets. We saw him completely shut down DeAndre Hopkins 2 weeks ago. Really tough spot for Amari Cooper. I know people are going to want to run away from him in fear in season long, and I get that to a degree. Obviously, there's some concerns with Dorian Thompson-Robinson under center. But as I mentioned on the podcast yesterday, like Cooper's going to remain a wide receiver 3 play. He's still very, very good. So in season-long fantasy football, I'm going to keep him in that range. Obviously, every week we adjust, but he is going to be in that range for me this week. Let's see. Oh, Jalen Johnson's really good. Bears fans, they're like, duh. But the rest of the country who really probably doesn't pay attention to corners as closely as maybe I do or other like football junkies do, Jalen Johnson's really, really, really good. 8.8 yards per catch, 52% catch rate. That doesn't mean fade Amon-Ra. Amon-Ra actually gets the slot matchup, so he won't see a lot of Jalen Johnson. It's not like he's not going to see any. He just won't see a lot of him. So I think the moral here is just don't get cute using Jameson Williams. Like, I tried to get cute with that last week. Didn't work. Definitely not the week where I'm going to get cute on it. Justin Jefferson. Okay, so I talked about him potentially returning. If he does return, if he's going to get a brutal matchup, because he's going to get shattered by Pat Surtain. And if you were wondering, like, there's been a lot of attention paid to the Buffalo Bills' lackluster performance through the air against Denver. And Denver, obviously, hey, Denver, they gave up 70 points earlier in the year. Well, they've just beaten the Chiefs and Bills. So they're not a pushover of a team. And, well, looky, looky. Pat Surtain was on Stephon Diggs for a good chunk of that game and really blanketed him, put a major damper on him. So that's going to be tough for Justin Jefferson. For DFS, wouldn't go overboard here, especially back in his first game. Season long, I'm going to start him no matter what. Devontae Adams, this is the last one on my list here. I don't know for a fact if Jalen Ramsey's going to shadow him, but I wouldn't be shocked to see that. And yes, you know, we're talking about a later career Ramsey, but he's still pretty darn good. He came back to the field, you know, came back after injured reserve there in week 9, and boom, interception in the first game. I think it's more so, too, that his presence will funnel some of the volume away from Davante Adams with rookie Aiden O'Connell under center there. So not a good spot, not a great week to use Davante Adams. And remember, he's more of a wide receiver, too, in season long this week. All right, that's going to wrap it up for today. Tomorrow, I'll be back with the flagship edition of the show, the game-by-game breakdown of the remaining games on the slate. Of course, in the meantime, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Instagram, ftnfantasy.com. Promo code RATPACK for 10% off. All right, I'll catch you on the flip side for another edition of the pod. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out.